This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
Welcome to our Bills-Patriots preview of Week 13, the biggest game of the Bills season so far. And we'll quickly touch on the Saints game since we didn't do a rapid reaction or any reaction at all after Thanksgiving there. Hope everybody had a Thanksgiving. And, you know, it was a costly victory, Nate, with, you know, the Bills dominated as we thought they should given the Saints couldn't score. But the Bills have lost Trey White for the season, and a lot of people think the sky is falling because of that. Where do you see the Bills ceiling now that they don't have, you know, arguably their best player on defense?
I mean, it hurts. It definitely hurts. And there's no other way to put it than it hurts. But I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world either. Yes, he is a really important player on their defense. Yes, the defense is going to be worse because he's not there. But I think that if the Bills' offense plays to the level they're capable of playing, the Bills as a team will be fine. Now, you lost a guy to shut down a top receiver. The Bills face maybe one team that has a guy like that the rest of the year. So at least regular season-wise, I'm not as concerned about it. Into the playoffs, it could end up hurting you in the playoffs depending on matchups and stuff, because there's no replacing Trey, obviously. But onus now is on guys that are filling in, like Dane Jackson, and also on the offense to score some more points and help the defense out a little bit.
I completely agree. I don't think, like, you know, the season's over. They lost Trey White. There's only two players on this team where that would be the case, and it's Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, because ultimately you have to be able to go out and score points with your offense to win a game. Now, that doesn't mean this doesn't hurt at all, but I think if it was Milano or Edmonds for the season, I think it would be much more troublesome to the unit. And that's not to diminish Trey White's value to this defense. It's just, you know, if you had AJ Klein starting every game instead of one of those two, it makes your run defense weaker and it makes your pass defense extremely weak over the middle. And that's problematic for a team that plays zone, you know, a little over 60% of the time. But what the Bills are losing with Trey White for me is just that guy that makes game-changing plays. He wrecks games on defense. When he's playing zone, he's just able to freelance sometimes. And it happened against Mike White with the Jets, where, you know, Mike White just had no idea Tre'Davious White was going to the area where he was throwing the ball deep down the field, because Trey White wasn't supposed to be over there, and he got an easy interception. Just, he's that guy that makes those types of things happen. So that's going to limit what your defense can do. They can't play as much, you know, just zone on one half and kind of let Trey freelance, because Dane Jackson and Levi Wallace aren't those guys, but they are capable. They're both good tackle. Well, Levi's an okay tackler, but Dane Jackson's a good tackler. He's going to get tested a lot in the passing game, but I expect the defense to be a bit more bland, you know, without having Trey White out there, and maybe they'll have to manufacture some more pressure with blitzes so they don't have to cover quite as long.
Yeah, I think that your second point there, Alex, is what I see as the most likely change in defensive calls, is just dialing up some more pressures, because a lot of Bills sacks, most Bills sacks are covered sacks. That is how the Bills get pressure, basically by covering up in the defensive backfield, which they're very, very good at. You're not going to get as many of those with Trey White out, so maybe get some more pressure with blitzes, which also takes some responsibility off of Dane Jackson and Levi Wallace to be shut down on the outside for, you know, 3-4 seconds a snap.
Right, and it does limit what they can do with the safeties now, too, because really Trey White just let them only really have to worry about half of the field because he's so good. So now it's going to be a bit tougher for, you know, to bring a safety down to the line of scrimmage and really disguise those looks pre-snap if it's going to end up being, you know, a cover too high, or, you know, both of the safeties dropping somewhere into zone coverage. It's going to be a bit more difficult, you know, to bring a guy down to the line of scrimmage and hide those looks from the offense. So I expect the defense to give up more yardage because of that. They're probably going to have to play more just bland zone coverages and, you know, just kind of make teams go 10 plays, 70 yards and do it methodically and, you know, just hope they don't get beat deep. And, you know, maybe bend but don't break. You know, that's what we always say. You only need to be bend but don't break on defense and make game-changing plays. And I think they're still capable of that.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, looking ahead to this week and even the next few games, this week given the weather and then the next few games given, not outside of the Bucs, the next games after that given their opponents, like they don't have – is there a scary quarterback – that you're facing? I mean, Tom Brady, is there scary offense other than the Bucs they face the rest of the year? I don't really think so. So that gives the defense, and especially Dane Jackson, some time to acclimate and get used to playing with each other before the playoffs.
Right. So I think we've covered this pretty in depth here, that it's not the sky is falling, but don't expect the Bills defense to be, you know, number one in the league going forward, basically, even though they only play one good offense. It's tough when you lose a guy like that, but it's not over. And as long as the offense can improve just slightly, I think they're going to be contenders. And, you know, this starts with Monday night against New England. And it looks like the weather's not going to really cooperate for how the Bills like to play. So I think the offensive line and the defensive line, they've got to come in with a mindset of we are going to absolutely maul the Patriots, because that's exactly what the Patriots' offensive line and defensive line do. They're huge, and they just out-physical everybody.
Right, and the weather with the wind is the potential to turn this game into a type of game the Bills don't really want to play, which is tough for a team that wants to throw and get up and on the field and get into a shootout. It's going to be tough in this weather. So the Bills are going to have to do something they haven't done very well in recent weeks, and that is play physical at the line of scrimmage. They have last week against the Saints was very good, much better than it had been. Before that, there were multiple weeks in a row where they got dominated on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And if that happens against the Patriots, the Bills will get smacked, because the Patriots are going to try to come out and run it down their throat and smack them in the teeth. And if the Bills let that happen, the Patriots can run and get a lead running. It's going to be a long night.
That's exactly how I see this too. And you know, it doesn't mean they need to, you know, come out there and just absolutely suffocate the run. It just means don't get it crammed on your throat and not be able to get off the field. That's what it is to me. And like you said, you know, they came out and played a lot more physical against the Saints than they had in prior weeks. But the last time they really just beat the shit out of a team physically was the Chiefs. And if you watch that game, you know, they just tried to beat the hell out of Kelce and Hill on the line of scrimmage. With their defensive backs, the offensive and defensive lines just dominated that game. They have to come out with that mindset, because otherwise that's exactly what's going to happen to them against the Patriots. Is it's going to be a repeat of the Colts game.
I mean, the Bills have obviously seen, they watch TV. They read the news. I mean, they can say they don't, but they've seen it. And I'm sure if they didn't see it this earlier today, Coach McDermott is going to be showing it to them. The CBS pregame show. Every single host picked the Patriots to win the AFC East, and most of them picked them to be the number one seed in the AFC. Like, that is going to, like, that billboard material for the Bills for this week is out there. And that's, I hopefully should motivate them to come out and play more physical on the line of scrimmage.
Right. And we don't like those intangible kind of things, but this team has historically under McDermott played much better when, you know, they consider themselves an underdog and everybody views them as an underdog. It seems like they just play better under those circumstances. So they get that chance tomorrow night to come out. And I think it doesn't mean run the ball well or more. It just means when you're on offense, try to run the ball efficiently and try to play your type of game, get ahead, and make Mac Jones beat you. That's how you beat the Patriots. Mac Jones, yes, he's been competent. He hasn't been great. He hasn't been terrible. But they haven't asked him to do a whole lot either. They've won this, you know, gone on this winning streak with their defense and their special teams. And Mac Jones has just had to not screw things up. They have to put him in a position where he has to win the Patriots the game. And that's the key for me.
Right. I completely agree with that, especially in the weather situation we're going to have. Mac Jones, very good quarterback. One thing he's not known for is having a strong arm to really push the ball through the wind. If it's as windy as the forecast is showing, I don't see a world where the Patriots can push the ball on the field more than 10, 15 yards. Josh Allen, on the other hand, his arm strength is there where the Bills might throw the deep ball super often, but they can push the ball on the field a little bit because he can rifle the ball through the wind pretty well. And obviously, if it's hurricane force winds, that changes the whole thing. But if it's 30-mile-an-hour winds, 35-mile-an-hour winds, which is about what it looks like for gusts for this game, Bills should still be able to throw the ball a little bit. And the Patriots probably will struggle more in that department. So like you said, Alex, get ahead, force Mac Jones to throw, force the Patriots to throw. That is really – that's how you win the game. And that's the simplest way to put, you know, how the Bills win this game.
Right. And if you look at Mac Jones' throw chart, he doesn't even really like to push the ball down the field all that much anyways. It's pretty much – everything within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, left, middle, right, he likes to throw all those places, and then he throws down the sideline a little bit too. So they'll have to take those throws away, but mostly if you can just suffocate the line of scrimmage and make him try to beat you over the top, I think that's the recipe for success.
Yeah, I mean, no matter who the Bills are playing, because of how good the secondary is, how good the pass defense is, the recipe for success is get a lead and make the other team throw. It doesn't matter if you're playing Pat Mahomes, or if you're playing Mac Jones, or if you're playing like Mike Glennon. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter who it is. That's how the Bills want to win football games. And not saying that Pat Mahomes and Mac Jones are equivalent quarterbacks, because they're not. It's just no matter who the quarterback is, the Bills are really good at stopping the pass, and that's what they want teams to do.
Right. And the Patriots don't have players that are just going to scare you in a one-on-one matchup. Even with Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson as your starters, like, which one of those skill guys scares you? Because none of them do for me. Yeah, Kendrick Bourne can make some contested catches, but I like my chances with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer back there.
Yeah, I don't think, unless there's a blown coverage that anyone's going to really get behind the Bills at all in this game. I don't think now, if the Bills play really aggressive downhill, single high safety for a lot of the game, there's a bit higher chance that can happen. And I think we're going to see them do that, expecting the Patriots to run the ball a bit. But I'm not necessarily scared of anyone on this Patriots offense. There are a couple guys that are decent players, like Bourne. Yes, pretty good player. He's made some great plays the last few weeks, but I'm still not necessarily scared of him.
Right. So I expect the Bills to kind of line up 5-6 guys on the line of scrimmage like they did against Tua and make Mac Jones identify, you know, which guys are coming, which ones aren't, and drop guys into coverage. And when they do blitz, you know, we're going to see Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson have to play man-to-man. And I think they can win in those situations against these particular receivers.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Patriots team that is built like so many Patriots teams were in the past. Especially when early in Tom Brady's career, they want to run the ball down your throat. They want to out-physical you. They want to throw screens, throw to their tight ends, throw to their running backs, pick up easy yards up and down the field, and play really good defense. That's the Patriot way this year, and that's the way Patriot way has been for the most part since Belichick has been the coach. And it's no surprise this team is on a roll and is having a good season, but I still think the Bills are a better football team.
I do too. And this is a tough matchup for them in particular, just because of how the Patriots are built. The Bills aren't really built to beat teams like this. And I think that's the one thing that scares me. And we've covered why, but I think for the defense, if they tackle well and, you know, don't take dumb penalties and same thing on special teams, I think they're going to be okay. I think the offense can be, you know, successful some of the time against the Patriots and score enough points to win, so long as the defense isn't just getting the ball crammed on their throat all night. And, you know, I'm curious to see what Brian Daboll does early in this game, because it's so critically important for them to come out and score on that first drive and get ahead.
Yeah, it is. That's huge. The Bills need to get a lead, and the first drive would be the most ideal place to do it. The longer the Bills can have a lead, or the bigger the Bills can build a lead, especially early in the game, not even a huge lead, like a 10, 14-point lead, the longer that lead can exist, the better this game is going to go. Because neither team in this weather is going to want to have to come back from any significant deficit.
Right. And the Patriots' defense has kind of switched its tendency from years past, at least recently. And they're no longer like this huge man team. I think they play zone more than anybody in the NFL. It's like 80% of the time. And when you have guys like Matthew Judon rushing the passer, like you don't have to do anything because he's so good. But that's really important for me to get Spencer Brown back. I think that really changes the dimension of the offense when you just don't have a complete turnstile at both guard spots because Spencer Brown's not on the field.
Right. Spencer Brown makes a huge difference, an absolutely massive difference to this team. And I never would have thought a rookie third-round tackle was going to be make a huge difference. But he's a mauler, and that's part of what helps a lot. He brings a physical presence to this offensive line that's missing without him. He's also just really good, and I didn't necessarily expect that at all.
Me neither. So that should kick Darrell Williams back inside to right guard, where he's been, you know, average to above average, and you know, he's pretty bad at right tackle after being spectacular last year. So, and it remains to be seen if we're getting John Feliciano back for Monday night. They can activate him tomorrow, and he would play left guard, but otherwise you're going to have Ike Butker out there. And, you know, I'm a firm believer with your offensive line. Your offensive line is only as good as your weakest link. And if Ike Butker's out there as your starting left guard, it's going to be tougher because Mitch Morse is going to have to help him out a lot. And that means everybody else has to hold their own.
Right. And that's not ideal, especially against a defensive line as good as the Patriots defensive line. I think if the Bills can get a little bit of success running the ball, I'm not as concerned about pass rush in this game. I think the Bills are going to be throwing down the field slightly less. It's going to be a lot more three-step drop type of throws or schemed up throws, but being able to run the ball at least a little bit is going to be very important.
Right. And, you know, the Patriots do not have Kyle Duggar. He went onto the COVID list and looks like he's not going to be back for the game tomorrow night. It's a significant blow to them, but they do have, you know, just game wrecking players like Matthew Judon, which worry me. And if the Bills offense can just not turn the ball over, which has been their problem this year, the stats are almost identical, except they're turning the ball over compared to last year. That's really the only difference. And if they can eliminate that, I really like their chances in this game.
Yeah, I do too. If the Bills have zero turnovers, and you were to tell me the Bills had zero turnovers against the Patriots on Monday night, and they had similar numbers of first downs, I say there's no way the Bills lose this game. None. So we'll see. If this game was in a dome, I would say Bills win by multiple scores. But given that it's outside in this weather, it's a little tougher for me to say. I definitely think it's going to be a very, very close game.
Right. So it's going to be up to Josh Allen to be patient. He's going to see a ton of zone coverage. And it's going to be up to the offensive line to give him time to throw and, you know, kind of make windows for himself to fit the ball in at that intermediate level. Because with the wind swirling, your margin for error is, you know, basically nothing. But Josh Allen has the arm strength to do it, to make those, you know, 10 to 20 yard throws down the field over that second or over that first layer of the defense and under the second. So it's going to be important for the Bills to, you know, be a threat to run the ball. Let's see some play action. Let's see them run the ball effectively when they choose to do so. And I think they'll be okay. I mean, I don't expect them to go out and put up 30, especially in these conditions. But, you know, there is a recipe for winning this game, despite not being a great matchup for them.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun game. It's two of the best defenses in the league. Bills, not a great matchup, like you said. A game that, to me, feels like a must-win game. It's not a must-win in terms of making the playoffs or even winning the division, because the Bills lose and then win out, they still would win the division. But it's a must-win to me in the sense of this is it. Like, you got to have the Patriots. They put themselves in a really tough hole if you lose this game. You put yourselves in control of the rest of the season and control of the division with a win.
Yeah, I mean, win this game and you're in position to make a run at the one seed all of a sudden again, because it's just been a weird season. There's no dominant team in the AFC or NFC. And, you know, the Cardinals are pretty good, but for the most part, the AFC is still wide open. And if they win this game, they're in control of the division and they're looking at making a run at the one seed. If you lose it, all of a sudden you have to beat the Panthers, you have to beat the Falcons, you have to beat the Jets just to be a wild card team. And you know, that's something they should do. They should get to 10 wins no matter what. But the path of least resistance begins with winning tomorrow night.
100%. 100%. So, Alex, that being said, score prediction for tomorrow night's game?
So I think it's going to be low scoring. The over-under was 42.5 last time I looked. I think that's a really good number by the books. I'm going to go Bills 22, Patriots 20. I think we're going to see a bit of a wacky score with, you know, the kicking situation because the wind's swirling. We're either going to see some missed kicks or going for two. And I think the Bills prove they can win a close game for the first time this year.
Yeah, I have a similar thought process. I think the game's actually going to be slightly lower scoring than that. And I'm going Bills 16, Patriots 15.
I mean, none of us want to watch that. So I hope you're wrong in that sense.
I think it's going to be that low scoring game. A last second field goal or someone misses a last second field goal. Something weird happens to end the game. And the Bills come out on the right side of one of these close ones.
Right. And that being said, I could see this having a really wide range of outcomes with either team blowing out the other. Just because of how differently they're built. Like, if the Patriots get ahead, there's a good chance they just run away with this game and win it by two or three scores. And vice versa, if the Bills get ahead, the Patriots can't come back. Like, they're just not built that way, or at least we haven't seen them do it yet. So it's going to be interesting because this is the first time this season where I've kind of been like, I don't really know how this game's going to go at all.
Yeah, I mean, I have absolutely no idea what to even expect tomorrow night. I don't even, like, who knows? The other thing that is completely unknown is it's a cold front's coming through over a very warm Lake Erie. There is a chance that it snows a lot during that game. We don't even know yet if it's necessarily going to snow because that lake sometimes just shoots off lake effect bands, and if one of them happens to hit Orchard Park, we could be playing in a blizzard. Who knows?
Right, and even more case to build a retractable roof. So just another plug for that.
So anything else, Alex, or move on to looking at tomorrow night, and hopefully the Patriots, the Bills can come out with a nice W over the Patriots on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, so that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Pallinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcast. It helps other people find the show. Follow us on Twitter at @Bills_Breakdown. Send us any questions, comments, feedback to BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.